Let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the opportunity to begin this Christian Foundation series. And Father, I thank you for each and every one that has made the effort to come out tonight. And Lord, others who have signed up, who, Lord, we pray that they will be able to make it also. Father, we ask you to open our eyes to see, open our ears to hear, open our hearts to understand the things that you have for us tonight. And we will give you the thanks and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, going to the beginning, open your notebooks. You'll see the table of contents. I'm revising these lessons, so there will be some content in these lessons that were not in the lessons previously. Some lessons will have a little more addition than others. But as a result, on the table of contents, you can see the 16 lessons that we will be covering over the course of the 16, 17 weeks that we will be here. There are no page numbers at this time on there because the page numbers will adjust as I revise the lesson. At the end, I'll give you an updated table of contents. All right, lesson number one, who is Jesus? Now, everybody has an opinion about Jesus. Let me show you something right here. Who is this? This is Jesus. Have you ever seen Jesus in the flesh? How do you know this is Jesus? That's what you were taught, all right? And it looks like some picture that you've seen before. And so based upon pictures that you've seen and in your little books or Bible or in your Sunday school class, you believe this is Jesus. But there's something interesting about this picture right here. This picture was given to me, and I really like it. This picture of Jesus is completely made out of the letters and the words of the Gospel of John. So this picture of Jesus is really the Word. The only way you're going to know the real Jesus is by the Word. People will present to you Jesus in a lot of different fashions and forms and theologies and ideas, but I want you to know the only way you're going to know the real Jesus is by the Word. All right? And if you're coming in, just find you a place. There's plenty of places right up here at the front. Find you a place with a notebook or wherever, okay? So, our key verse today is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3 and 4. And it says, "But I fear," and this is Paul speaking, "I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." So here is Paul worried that the people who started out with Christ are somehow going to lose their focus. All right? "For if he who comes preaches any other Jesus whom we have not preached," preaches who? Another Jesus. Any other Jesus that whom we have not preached, "or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." I want you to see three things here. Paul said someone could come along and try to deceive you with, and that is with another Jesus, with another spirit, other than the Holy Spirit. It's a foreign spirit. It's being paraded as the Holy Spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, a different gospel. Okay, a different way of salvation. So that's a very important verse for all of us as we grow in Christ. So the purpose of this lesson is to help the disciple, that's you, that's me, gain a scriptural understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the introduction, throughout history, people have attempted to give the Jesus of the Bible a makeover to fit their own religious beliefs and personal biases. I'm amazed at watching television and having people describe the Jesus they have in their mind, and there will be very sinful activities, and people will say things like, "Do you think Jesus would be okay with that?" And they go, "Well, yeah, he loves everybody, so he would be fine with it because he loves everybody." Well, see, that is not the way you know Jesus by your feelings and how you think. Okay, so we want to, we don't need to give Jesus a makeover. All right, everyone seems to have an opinion about Jesus. A search of the bookstores and internet reveals endless differing portrayals of Jesus. Does it really matter what a person or a religious sect believes and teaches about Jesus as long as they claim to believe in quote-unquote Jesus? Does it really matter? All right. All right. The way, the truth, and the life. In John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Me is Jesus. All right. Jesus claimed to be the only way to the Father. In regard to our salvation, we are never called upon to believe in a certain teaching, philosophy, worldview, religion, or cultural preference to obtain eternal life. We are called to believe in a person. That person is Jesus Christ. Truth is not a teaching. Truth is a person. Is that what Jesus said here? I am the truth. Remember when Pilate had Jesus standing before him and Jesus said, "I have come to bear witness to the truth." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" The proper question would have been, "Who is truth?" Because truth was standing right before him. All right? So people get all ensnared with the question of what is truth when Jesus said, "I am the truth." All right? Once we receive Jesus as truth himself, then all that he teaches is truth by virtue of that reality. Therefore, the question, who is Jesus, is of utmost importance. Who Jesus is determines the framework from which to interpret all that he says. If we get the person and work of Jesus wrong, then it matters not what else we get right. I want to say that again. If we get the person and work, which is the cross, of Jesus wrong, then it matters not what else we get right. We can have a college education in the Bible, and we can have all kinds of ideas about theology, but if we do not have Jesus right, if we do not have his work that he came to do right, all of that stuff, you can still go to hell. Having a college education with theology. So, number one. It is important to believe in the real Jesus. The real Jesus, R-E-A-L, the real Jesus. Many religions embrace a Jesus who is very different from the Jesus of the Bible. Compare just a few of the common beliefs about Jesus held today. And this comes from a pamphlet called Christianity, Cults, and Religion by Rose Publishing, Torrance, California. First of all, let's look at the biblical Christianity. This is what the biblical Christianity says about Jesus. Jesus is God, the second person of the Trinity. He has always existed and was never created. He is fully God and fully man. As the second person of the Trinity, he is co-equal with God the Father and the Holy Spirit. As a man, he was begotten by the Holy Spirit through the Virgin Mary. Jesus is the only way to the Father, salvation, and eternal life. He died physically on the cross according to the plan of God. He rose from the dead on the third day with a physical but immortal glorified body. His disciples physically touched his wounds and he ate real food with them. For the next 40 days, he was seen by over 500 eyewitnesses. He physically ascended to the right hand of the Father in heaven, where he will come again visibly and physically at the end of the world to establish his kingdom and judge the world. Now, is it important that you remember all that right now at this point? No. I had a very wise professor when I was in college, and he said this, because we were thinking, you know, we're paying for a good education here, and what we're seeing is there's no way we can remember all of this. So is it, you know, are we missing out here, paying money and wasting it because we cannot remember it all? He said, my goal is not to have you remember everything that I say to you, because you won't. My goal is to teach you how to get it. And whenever you need it, you know where to go to get it. And you can get back to that same place. You will not remember all of this. I hope you'll go back and think upon it, meditate upon it, digest it. But when someone comes presenting you another Jesus and you're wondering about that, you can say, I know where to go find out. Fair enough? Now, a lot of people talk about Jesus. They'll knock on your door and they want to talk to you about Jesus. Let's see who some of these Jesuses are. Mormonism. It's a growing religion in the United States. They talk about Jesus, but their Jesus is different than the Jesus of the Bible. For them, Jesus is a separate God from the Father, Elohim. He was created as a spirit child by the Father and Mother in heaven, and is the elder brother of all men and spirit beings. His body was created through a sexual union between Elohim and Mary. Jesus, in the Mormon faith, was married. Okay, he was married. What about Jehovah's Witness? Anybody ever had a Jehovah's Witness come to your door? All right. For them, Jesus is not God. He's not God. He lived on earth before he took on flesh. He was Michael the Archangel. Jehovah made the universe through him. On earth, he was a man who lived a perfect life. After dying on a stake, not a cross, he was resurrected as a spirit. In other words, he did not have a physical resurrection. Okay? His body was destroyed. Jesus is not coming again. He returned invisibly in 1914 in spirit. Very soon, he and the angels will destroy all non-Jehovah Witnesses. What about Oneness Pentecostalism? Oneness Pentecostals are in this area. All right, a lot of people think, well, Pentecostals are all the same. They're not. For instance, there are Pentecostals who believe in the Trinity, and there are those who don't believe in the Trinity. The Trinity is the Christian understanding of the Godhead. Okay, what do Oneness Pentecostals believe? The Oneness Doctrine, or Modalism, denies the doctrine of Christ in biblical and early Christianity. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are not persons within the Godhead, but are different manifestations of God. Jesus is the Father, and thus the Father is Jesus. The Son of God has not always existed, but refers to his fleshly body, the fleshly body of Jesus on the earth, and is not eternal. As the Father, Jesus sent himself as the Son, prayed to himself as the Father, was obedient to himself as the Father, died on the cross as the Son, was exalted back to himself as the Father, and sent himself again as the Holy Spirit. In order to be saved, one must believe that Jesus is the Father, be water baptized specifically in the name of Jesus, and receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now that's the Jesus of the Oneness Pentecostals. What about Christian Science? You hear a lot about Christian Science. Jesus was not the Christ or the Messiah, but a man who displayed the Christ idea, or the Christ meaning perfection, not a person. Jesus was not God, and God can never become man or flesh. He did not suffer and could not suffer for sins. He did not die on the cross. He was not resurrected physically. He will not literally come back. A lot of people are involved in Christian Science. They talk about Jesus. It's not the Bible Jesus. What about Scientology? There's a lot of people into Scientology. Tom Cruise and a lot of these people in Hollywood. All right? Jesus is rarely mentioned in Scientology. Jesus was not the creator and not an operating thetan, which is in control of supernatural powers cleared from mental defects. Jesus did not die for sins. Jesus is just barely even mentioned in Scientology. What about New Age? This is pretty big, and actually it's kind of cloaked. It's coming into Christianity without the New Age title. It's getting into a lot of the ideas about the New Age here. Jesus is not, in New Age, the one true God. He is not a savior, but a spiritual model. For example, a guru and is now an ascended master. In other words, he ascended in the principles of the New Age, and now he is a guru, ascended master. He was a New Ager who tapped into divine power in the same way that anyone can. Many people believe that he went to India or Tibet and learned mystical truths. He did not rise physically, but rose into a higher spiritual dimension. That's New Age. What about Judaism? That's Jewish people. Jesus is seen as either an extremist false messiah or a good but martyred Jewish rabbi or teacher. Judaism does not recognize Jesus to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and they do not believe that he rose from the dead. You read the New Testament, and you see how the Pharisees and the Sadducees treated Jesus. That's pretty much the same view today. What about Hinduism, the religion that you see many times, like in India? Jesus is a teacher, a guru, an incarnation of Vishnu. He is a son of God as others are sons of God. His death does not atone for sins, and he did not rise from the dead. What about Hare Krishna? Hare Krishna used to be pretty popular around the airports and things of that nature. Jesus is not important. He is usually thought of as an enlightened vegetarian teacher who taught meditation. He is not an incarnation of God. Some hold that Christ is Krishna. So they've kind of absorbed him into Krishna within the Hindu religion. What about transcendental meditation, or TM? Jesus is not uniquely God. Like all persons, Jesus had a divine essence. Unlike most, he discovered it. Christ didn't suffer and couldn't suffer for people's sins. What about Buddhism? Jesus is not a part of this belief. Buddhists in the West generally view Jesus as an enlightened man. What about Islam? Does Islam believe in Jesus? Sure, they believe in Jesus. All right. Jesus is one of up to 124,000 prophets sent by God to various cultures. Abraham, Moses, and Muhammad are others. Jesus was born of a virgin, but is not the Son of God. He was sinless, but was not divine or God himself. He was not crucified. He ascended to heaven without dying. He is referred to as Messiah and Ayatollah. Jesus will return in the future to live and die. What about the Baha'i world faith? Maybe you haven't heard of the Baha'i, but that's a growing religion. Okay? Baha'i faith pretty much accepts all the religions. Like all the different prophets had something to say, and they all added into the religion of God. But anyway, let's look what they say in the Baha'i faith. Jesus is one of many manifestations of God. Each manifestation supersedes the previous, giving new teaching about God. Jesus, who superseded Moses, was superseded by Muhammad, and most recently by the greatest Baha'u'llah, or glory of Allah. Jesus is not God and did not rise from the dead. He is not the only way to God. Jesus has returned to earth in the form of Baha'u'llah. All right. Is it important to have the right Jesus? Yes. Is it important to know what Jesus you're talking about when you're talking to people? Just because someone comes to your door and say they believe in Jesus, you don't just assume they're talking about the same Jesus you're talking about. In fact, one of the deceptions of cults is they redefine the terms. They use the same terms, which gets the door open to you, and then they redefine the terms, and if you don't know what you're talking about, you accept their definition. Okay? You accept their definition of the term you say you believe in. All right. Now, number two, we're going to go through these, and I'm not going to read all the scriptures because we just do not have time. Okay? But I'll read some. The Bible teaches that there is only one God. Does Christianity believe there is only one God? Yes, we believe there is one God. Deuteronomy 6:4, which is called the Shema in the Jewish religion, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." This is the creed of Judaism. The Lord is a translation of the word Yahweh, or old-fashioned Jehovah. But later the Jews substituted the word Adonai, meaning my Lord, because they regarded the name as too holy to say. The word God here is used in the plural form, Elohim. El is singular, Elohim is plural. Thus, the Lord our God, the Lord is one, could be translated Yahweh, our Elohim, plural, Yahweh is one. This likely emphasizes the Christian doctrine of the Trinity, three persons in the same substance in one Godhead. This understanding could not have been apparent to the people of the Old Testament. Deuteronomy 32:39 says, "There is no God besides me." Isaiah 43:10, "Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me." Isaiah 44:6, "Beside me there is no God." James 2:19, "You believe that there is one God, you do well, even the demons believe and tremble." So there is one God. Number three, although God is one, He has revealed Himself in the plural. P-L-U-R-A-L, the plural. The plurality of God can be seen in the very name of God, Elohim, which would be, if they translated it like in the plural, it would have been gods. But because we believe in one God, they don't translate it plural. They translated it singular. All right? The name Elohim is found 2,700 times in the Old Testament and is a uniplural, meaning it's a plural noun, but it means one. That literally means gods. It is translated in that manner 239 times as gods, and some examples there. For instance, Genesis 1:1, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." Elohim is plural. Genesis 1:26, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness." He's not talking about angels. When in Genesis 1, verse 1, 2, and 3, we see God, the Spirit, and the light. Genesis 3:22, "Then the Lord God, Elohim, said, Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil." Who knows good and evil? God. All right? Now, I don't have time to go through all of these scriptures, but I hope that you'll do that in your own time and understand that God has revealed Himself as one God, but also in the plural. Number four, Jesus is not an angel. A-N-G-E-L. He is not an angel. The Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. Jesus is not an angel. Hebrews 1, verse 4 through 7 says about Him, "Having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did He ever say, 'You are my Son, today I have begotten you,' and again, 'I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son'? But when He brings the firstborn into the world, He said, 'Let the angels of God worship Him,' and to the angels He says, 'Who makes His angels spirits and His ministers a flame of fire.'" So Jesus is not an angel. If you have someone coming along telling you Jesus was an angel, it's the wrong Jesus. Number five, Jesus is more than a prophet. Now Jesus is a prophet, but He is more than a prophet. Hebrews 1:1 says, "God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past by the fathers, by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His," what? "Son." So Jesus is a prophet. A prophet is a spokesman for God. But He is more than a prophet in the sense that He is the Son of God. Number six, Jesus is the Son of God. S-O-N, Son of God. As the verse I just read, He's spoken to us by His Son. Luke chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized, and while he prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, I want you to pay attention here. Jesus, the Son, is being baptized. You see him go in the water. When he comes out, you see the Holy Spirit come upon him like a dove. And you see the Father speaking from heaven. So in that account alone, you have the three persons of the Godhead, the Son, the Spirit, and the Father. Okay? All in that one instance. Okay? Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 through 17, he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And this is Jesus asking his disciples. Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So here is Jesus affirming that truth that he is the Son of God. He could have said, "Wrong, Peter, I am not the Son of God." No, he said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father revealed this to you." All right, number 7, Jesus is God. Not only is he the Son of God, but he is God. Hebrews 1, 8 and 9 says, "But to the Son," which is Jesus, "He says," meaning the Father says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions." So in this verse here, you can see Jesus called God, and the Father called God. He said, "Therefore, God, your God," and yet the Father said, "Your throne, O God," talking about the Son. All right? Number 8, Jesus is the eternal Word of God. W-O-R-D, Word of God. John 1:1 and John 1:14, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was," what? "The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." 1 John 5:7, "There are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are" what? "One." Okay, so again, you have the Father, the Word, who is who? Jesus. And you have the Spirit, okay? And they all are one. Number 9, Jesus is not the Father. Now, Oneness Pentecostals will say Jesus is the Father. But Jesus is not the Father. That's not what the Bible teaches. Look at Mark 14, verse 36. "And he said, Abba, Father." This is Jesus praying. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will." How many wills are there? Two wills. He said, "Not what I will, but what you will." Now, if he is the Father, he's arguing with himself. Okay? Luke 2:49, "And he said to them, Why do you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" John 8:16, "And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me." John 8, verse 17 and 18, "It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true." Remember, the scripture says that you, by two or three witnesses, let everything be established. All right? He said, "I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me." Now, if Jesus himself is the Father, there's only one witness there. He's witnessing to himself as himself, and he's witnessing to himself as the Father. And that is not true. Okay? John 14, verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we..." We, is that plural or singular? Plural. "And we will come to him and make our home in him." All right. Number 10. Jesus pre-existed with the Father. P-R-E-E-X-I-S-T-E-D. Pre-existed with the Father. Some people believe that Jesus didn't exist until he was born on earth through the Virgin Mary. Some believe that Jesus didn't pre-exist at all with God before creation, that somehow God created him. But look at Proverbs 30, verse 4. "Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth?" Well, we know God has done all of that. "What is his name, and what is his son's name, if you know?" Here in the book of Proverbs, it is telling us that God has a son. Isaiah 48:16, "Come near me, hear this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was, I was there. And now the Lord God and His Spirit have sent me." Once again, you see the plurality. He said, "I was there from the very beginning, and now God and His Spirit have sent me." And so you see the Lord God, the Father, His Spirit, me being Jesus, the Son. Micah 5:2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting," meaning eternity past. All right? Now, look at John 8, verse 57 to 58. "Then the Jews said to him, 'Are you yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.'" I am is the name of God. It's translated Yahweh or Jehovah. Okay? And so he is saying, "I am God." All right. Number 11. Jesus is equal to the Father. E-Q-U-A-L. Equal to the Father. Some people believe that Jesus, because he's the Son, is not equal to the Father. He is not the Father, but he is still equal to the Father. All right, let's look at John 5:18. "Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but he also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." All right, so Jesus did not consider it a robbery to try to be equal with God, because he was. All right, John 5, verse 22 and 23. "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." So the Son has equal honor as the Father. All right, number 12. Jesus, although he is equal to the Father, is not greater than the Father. G-R-E-A-T-E-R. He is not greater than the Father. John 10:29, he says, "My Father, who has given them to me," meaning his disciples, "is greater than all." John 14:28, he said, "I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 27 through 28. But when he says, all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. In other words, God has put everything under, the Father has put everything under the feet of Jesus. Now, when all things are made subject to him, meaning Jesus, then the Son himself also will be subject to him who puts all things under him, that God may be all in all. In other words, once the redemptive work is complete, Jesus will continue to remain as Son within the Godhead, but no longer function in his assumed saving mediatorial role, meaning that he won't be having to save people anymore. He won't be in that Lamb of God position to have to try to save people because it's all finished. Okay? He came to save, seek and save the lost. Number 13, Jesus and the Father are one. They're one. John 10:30 says, I and my Father are one. O-N-E, one. John 14:7, Jesus said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also, and from now on you know him and have seen him. John 10:38, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. John 17:21, the last verse in that section there, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. All right. Number 14. Godhead. G-O-D-H-E-A-D. Godhead is the biblical term that describes the mystery of the relationship between God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Godhead. That is a biblical term. How does God exist as one, and yet there are three persons within God? It's called the Godhead. Look at Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the name of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. And who came in the flesh? Jesus. So God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, there's the Holy Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on the world, in the world, and received up in glory. Number 15. The biblical and historical Christian doctrine of the Godhead is called the Trinity. T-R-I-N-I-T-Y. Trinity. Now, that term, Trinity, is not a Bible word, just like rapture is not a Bible word. Trinity is a theological word that tries to describe how the Godhead is arranged, okay? And basically, it comes from tri, meaning three, unity, which is oneness, one God, three in one, Trinity, okay? So the doctrine of the Trinity is based on revelation and a systematic or comprehensive study of the entire Bible. In other words, as you read through the whole Bible and as you put all the parts together, the picture begins to come clear. It's like putting a puzzle together. You have all these pieces, and as you start putting all the pieces together in the right place, and let's say you don't have the box. Anybody tried to put a puzzle together without the box top? And you're not sure. You know this. All these pieces are supposed to fit together, but as all the pieces come together, then suddenly you get the picture. That's the way it is as you study the Scripture. That's how the doctrine of the Trinity has come to pass. All these Scriptures fit together. In Christian theology, the term Trinity means that there are three eternal distinctions in one divine essence. Now, I don't want to get into the depths of this. I want you to be aware of this. Though the term Trinity does not appear in the Bible, it is a theological term used early in the history of the church to explain the revelation of the Godhead. Other theological words that do not appear in the Bible include rapture, oneness, etc. Early Christian teaching about God was preoccupied with the unity of God, but the struggle with paganism and heresy forced the subject to the forefront. The Greek term trias seemed to be used first by Theophilus of Antioch, AD 181, and its Latin form Trinitas by Tertullian in AD 2200. So this goes way back, okay? Tertullian refuted the suggestion that there was any distinction between the three, that any distinction between the three involved. Tertullian refuted the suggestion that any distinction between the three involved any division or separation. The distinction was more of a distribution than a separation. Now, I'm going to stop there. You can go back and study this later. But I want you to know that is the Christian view of the Godhead. Number 16, false views of the Trinity include. Because there are some who claim to be teaching the Trinity, but it's a false Trinity, false definition. I've had some discussions with Oneness Pentecostals here in our area about their use of the word Trinity, but but it is not the biblical understanding of the Trinity. Okay? So what are they? One is tritheism. Tri meaning three, theism meaning God. It denies, basically, let me just say it this way. It means that there's three different gods. Now, that's a false teaching. That is not the biblical view of God. God is not three gods. He is one God. And yet there are three persons within the Godhead. All right? The next one is Sabellianism or modalism. And this is the oneness view. And in this view, and this came along in the third century. This went way back to. And again, this idea, if you go down further in, down in this graph, about two-thirds of the way down, about a little over half of the way down, it says, this doctrine holds to a threefold revelation or manifestation of God in the same sense in which a man may be an artist, a teacher, and a friend, or may be a father, a son, and a brother. But this is in reality, a denial of the Trinity, for these are not three distinctions in person, but are three qualities within the same person. Now, let me explain. This view says this, I can be a father, I can be a son, and I can be a husband, but I'm the same person. I just wear three different hats. Okay? So when I'm talking to my wife, I put on the husband hat. When I talk to my children, I put on the father hat. When I talk to my parents, I put on the son hat. But I'm all the same person. So it denies the reality of three distinct persons. Now this is important because the Bible talks about the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Now I can be a father, I can be a son, and I can be a husband. All three of those, right? At the same time. But can I be my own father? As a son, can I be my own father? If I'm a father, can I be my own son? No. So to deny the person within the Godhead denies the whole Father principle, the Son principle, and the Spirit principle. Because if I say, I am the Father and He is the Son, I have to say there's two people here, two persons. If I say that we're all one, then I've denied somebody. Because they cannot exist without all three of them existing. Those three roles. I cannot be my own father. I cannot be my own son. I cannot be my own wife. Okay? So, very important. Now, 17, let's go on. Number 17, Jesus is creator along with the Father. Some people believe that Jesus was created. Maybe he came when to earth. That's when he was created, when he was born of the Virgin Mary. But the Bible says he is creator. John 1, verse 1 through 3 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things," how many things? "All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." Now, if Jesus was made, that would not be true. Jesus was creator from the very beginning. All right, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before," or he precedes, "all things. And in him all things consist." Did you know that not only is he the creator, but he holds everything together? If Jesus were suddenly not to exist, everything would just fall apart. So not only is he the creator, he is the sustainer of everything that's been created. Okay, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3 tells us that. Hebrews 1, 2 says, "Has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, to whom also he made the worlds." Hebrews 1:10, "You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands." He's talking about Jesus in that passage. Number 18, Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus is the only way to the Father. Now, as you read the scriptures, you'll find this out. Nobody has sent the Father except the Son. And no one can know the Father except the one to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. And so Jesus came to reveal the Father. Okay? And so Jesus also said, "I am the way to the Father." John 14, 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through" who? Me, meaning Jesus. All right? A lot of people are trying to get to heaven. Jesus said, "You cannot get to the Father except through me." Now, that's an exclusive statement. That's not like Jesus is one way to the Father, as some people believe that all these religions, that they're all trying to get to the same heaven, the same God, but they're all trying to get there a different way. Everybody's right. They're just going a little different path to get there. Like lots of different roads go to Dallas. A lot of people go on different roads, but we're all going to end up in Dallas. We're all going to end up in heaven. Jesus said no. All right? And that statement, if you believe in the Jesus that said this, people aren't going to be happy with you when you make an exclusive statement that says, no, Muhammad will not get you there. Buddha will not get you there. Oh, well, you're just being a bigot. You're being intolerant. Look, if there's only one cure and you've got it, and everybody else is peddling little things that are just sugar water, okay, it's not a bigoted statement to say, unless you take this, you will die. This is the only cure you have. You can drink all the sugar water you want, but this is the only cure. And you can kill me, you can do it, but unless you take this and believe this, you will perish. All right? Now, number 19. The confession and revelation that Jesus blessed concerning himself was that he is the Christ, C-H-R-I-S-T, the Son of the Living God. He is the Christ, the Son of the Living God. That's what Matthew 16, verse 16 and 17, Jesus, when he asked them, who do you say that I am? He says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, in essence, Peter, you are right. Okay? He blessed that confession. So if we get Jesus wrong, then we get salvation and the church wrong. Because Jesus said, I will build what? My church. So if you have the wrong Jesus, you also have the wrong church. Okay? And verse 20, and he, Saul, said, who are you, Lord? Remember the vision? He fell on his face. The light came and he fell down. And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. And then in verse 20, it says, immediately after he had received his sight, he preached the Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. Same thing, said a little bit different. He is the Christ, the Son of God. That was the message of the early church. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Number 20, because of his obedience, God has highly exalted, E-X-A-L-T-E-D. He has highly exalted Jesus and given him the name. T-H-E-N-A-M-E. The name that is above every name. Philippians 2:9 is the verse on that. Number 21, every knee will bow. It means Hindu knees, Buddhist knees, atheist knees. Every knee will bow, demonic knees. Every knee will bow, even our knee, will confess, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. L-O-R-D. Philippians 2, verse 10 and 11 tells us that very thing. Number 22. God has made Jesus, because of his obedience, because he went to the cross, he did all this, Jesus has made him both Lord and Christ. Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. All right. So Jesus is Lord. He is Christ. Now, I want to tell you, Jesus has always been Lord. But I want to tell you, the difference that it's talking about here is that now in his incarnate form, that means in the flesh, Jesus rose again in flesh, right? He took on flesh. Now, he was the Son of God and he was Lord before he became flesh, right? But he took on human flesh and he became just like us. And then he rose from the dead after he died in the flesh. He now exists in an eternal flesh body that he did not have before. In that state as the God-man, God has said, I now place Lord upon that dimension of who you are. He is Lord as the God-man. Okay? Now, I want us to look at 2 John 1:9, this verse. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, meaning who Jesus is, who Christ is, does not have God. That's a very powerful statement. In other words, if you do not abide in the truth of who Jesus is, you do not have God. So I know a lot of religious people. Well, you can be religious. The Jews were religious. The Hindus are religious, and they're very sincere. Sincerity does not mean you're right. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. Right? Okay. So, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Okay? If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. What he's saying here is if people are come peddling another Jesus or another doctrine of Jesus, do not encourage them. Do not bless them. Do not open your doors to them to come present that doctrine. Okay? And do not let them into the church either. Or if they do, make sure they leave the church. Number 23. Believers in the true Jesus are not to receive, R-E-C-E-I-V-E, are not to receive anyone who does not abide in the doctrine of Christ. R-E-C-E-I-V-E. Number 24, those who do give them credibility, give them credibility and share in their evil deeds. Number 25, those who abide in the doctrine of Christ have both the Father and the Son. If you don't abide in the doctrine of Christ, you don't have the Father and the Son. Okay? So, what we believe about Jesus is a serious matter. We are not to fellowship with those who promote another Jesus, lest we share in their evil deeds. Now, this next section I'm not going to go through. Okay? This is a new section that I've added to the lesson for your information. Because Jesus is the God-man. And understanding that is very important. Okay? And so what I've done is I've given you the information, and you can see down below the scriptures that verify those statements. Okay? So I encourage you to do your own study. Study through it. It'd be a good Bible study for you if you're just looking for something devotional. Go through the study again this week and just get this inside of you to make sure that the Jesus in your life is the Jesus of the Word. Amen? Make sure you got the right Jesus. And the only picture of Jesus that is true is the one the Word paints. Amen? Amen. All right. Now, I have also given you in your book, and this will conclude with this, what I call a Trinity Triangle. And this came out of my own study. And you can cut that out if you want to, or you can just leave it like it is. But this is where when it's cut out and put together. And this is a way to help you understand the Trinity. Because the Trinity, to be honest, has got, you know, a lot of people get confused about it. You know, how does all that work? Well, let me give you a quick understanding of this. We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Okay? In this, as I turn this, I have God on all three of the faces of this triangle. Okay? And that is the word Elohim, which is a plurality. So you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Son or the Word, you have the Father. But they're all one. Okay? And they're all Lord. So how can they be Lord? Well, underneath, the common thing that touches all three of them is Lord, which is He is one Lord. See, there's only one Lord, but there's three persons within the Godhead. Does that make sense? All right. So you see the Son, but you're still seeing the Lord. You can see, one day we'll see the Father, but He is Lord. The Holy Spirit, He is Lord. So when you talk about Lord, you're talking about the Godhead. Every one of them is Lord. But you cannot divide them. You can only distinguish them. They are one God in three persons. Now, if you see someone come along and say one God in three manifestations, that is not the Trinity. Manifestations is the wearing a different hat. Okay? That's And so make sure when you hear one God in three persons, if you ever move off and go to another church, because I'm sure you won't ever go to another church except here while you're here. If you look in their statement of faith, find out how they describe the Godhead and Jesus. Very important. Make sure one God in three persons. And make sure that the Jesus they describe in their faith, in their doctrine of faith, is the Bible Jesus. Okay. They may have a lot of other things that aren't quite right, you know, maybe something that has nothing to do with salvation. We can disagree about a lot of things. But we can't get Jesus and the gospel wrong. Amen? Amen. That's why it's the first lesson in this series. Next week, we will look at salvation and the new birth. Amen? Salvation and the new birth. This was a long lesson and had to go through it pretty quick, but I hope that you were blessed and learned from it. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for these who have come to learn. And Lord, you have called us not only to make converts, but Lord, you said to go and make disciples. And we want to be disciples. We want to know what we believe. We want to understand what the Bible says about Jesus and all these different lessons. We want to be equipped, Lord, so that we are not deceived, but also that we can help others. And so, Lord, we ask you tonight to help us digest the truth of your word. And Lord, help us to go forth from this place today, Father.